A word of prayer as I start. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your goodness and love and faithfulness. And we pray that you would open your word to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the question we're addressing is this one. Is Christmas for me? Is Christmas for me? We all come to Christmas from different perspectives. What do you think of at Christmas? The family gathering, work parties, old 1970s Christmas hits on the radio, you know, Slade and everybody. John Farnham and Olivia as well. Home Alone, The Grinch, It's a Wonderful Life on TV. And good food and drink to enjoy on the table. For some, Christmas is a difficult time. It might be that day in the calendar which highlights a sense of loneliness or of past bereavement, or reminds someone of an unhappy childhood, or they simply can't cope with the Christmas hype and frills and shopping madness. I think many of us would be with you on that one. For others, Christmas for you is a focus on the coming of the Lord Jesus into the world. It's a special and meaningful time of celebration and thanksgiving. While for others who are more skeptical when it comes to Christmas, they struggle with the whole idea of God coming into the world. In fact, they struggle with the whole idea of God in the first place. Perhaps that's you today. You're here as a visitor this morning. We live in an age of such sophisticated technological and scientific advances in the worlds of IT, medicine, space exploration, and robotics, that it's hard for many to think the Christmas story could possibly be for them. And so it's far more likely that they might politely dismiss the Bethlehem story as myth, as a fairy tale that brings support and comfort to those who need that kind of thing, but it's certainly not to be confused with truth. Now, I completely respect that view. But I think what this series, Explore Christmas, is really about is inviting people to come to the Christmas event with an open mind, a fresh perspective. One of the great concerns that the respected Australian journalist and author Greg Sheridan expresses in his recent book, God is Good for You, is the dismissiveness in the current culture towards Christianity, not only in Australia, but in the Western world. Sheridan writes, "It's wrong to reject Christianity out of hand without having any idea of what it is actually saying. But that's what the West is in the process of doing now." Someone who came to the realization that he himself was in that category of dismissing without investigating is the renowned American physician and geneticist, Professor Dr. Francis Collins. Collins, in the year 2000, and to international acclaim, gave the world the Human Genome Project, which maps the genetic footprint and framework of humankind beyond the individual DNA. In 2016, as part of the Alpha Course, Collins gave an interview explaining his journey from skepticism to a sincere Christian faith. A man who prided himself on dealing with evidence and examining it thoroughly says he'd never seriously considered the evidence for a belief in God or of the claims of Christ. He eventually recognized that he could maintain his scientific endeavors alongside a deep personal faith in Christ. The two weren't mutually exclusive. Do say that to your scientific friends. Professor Collins discovered that, much to his surprise, Christmas was indeed for him. And I want to say that it's not just for him, but for all of us gathered here today. Is Christmas for me? Yes. Because life is no accident. Verse 1 of John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. One of the great issues of our time is identity, isn't it? It's an especially strong issue for the younger generation who are rightly wanting to discover their place in the world, where they fit in, who they are deep down, and how they can find a sense of purpose in this vast and often confusing world. But if we're honest, the younger generation aren't the only ones tackling that issue of identity. In my years of ministry, I've mixed with all kinds of people in different parts of the world, and I've been struck by how many I've encountered have a very low sense of self-esteem. They look at others and perhaps they feel, I'm not as gifted or as clever or rich or happy or good-looking or popular, and so it goes on. It moves from the playground to the boardroom, the factory floor, and the neighborhood. People don't feel they match up. John, the writer of this gospel, has news for them. In an echo of the opening verse in the book of Genesis, John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made." John is saying, the Bible is saying, God is saying, you and I matter. Alongside the stars, the planets, and the earth itself, humankind was brought into being. Perhaps you're saying, I'm not sure I can believe all that. Okay, but that's where Professor Francis Collins, the scientist, had found himself until he began to explore more about Christianity and the identity of the Word, who is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, who spoke into our world in person. If what is said about him is true, everything else, including creation, falls into place. That was certainly Professor Collins's experience. Without the Word, Jesus, verse 3, nothing was made that has been made. The title, the Word, is the translation of the Greek word logos. And this was the well-known Greek term used by Greek philosophers for the ancient principle that undergirded everything in life, the universe, you name it. The logos undergirded everything. John is saying that Jesus is the Word, the logos, is the center of everything. He undergirds everything. He, alongside God the Father and the Holy Spirit, brought everything into being. And that includes you and me. We are part of God's creation. That's made clear from verse 4. In him the Word was life, and that life was the light of mankind. You and I have been given the precious gift of life. King David, king of Israel around 1000 BC, was so blown away by that truth that he wrote a poem, Psalm 139, and he writes, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." Is that what you say into the mirror when you get up each morning? Because you should do. You should do. You're unique, precious, special, and wonderfully made. Is Christmas for me? Yes, because life is no accident. The very child born in a manger at Bethlehem is the source of your life and of my life. Is Christmas for me? Yes, because Christ came for you. He came for you. In his gospel, John is keen to show us how the Jesus who played such a key role in creation then many millennia later came down to earth and, as Josh Moody puts it, enter into the world of history. The Creator visits his own planet from being part of creation, moving into the creation he'd made. Not that anyone really knew it at the time. Just a few shepherds who lived near Bethlehem. Some gift-bearing visitors from the east who'd followed a star. And Mary and Joseph and a few animals in the stable. And for around 30 years, it pretty much stayed that way. Until a strange guy appeared in the deserts of Judea and elsewhere, preaching and offering a baptism of repentance. And he was John the Baptist. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, Jesus, so that all might believe through him. John the Baptist was the trailblazer, the forerunner of Jesus. He was the first prophet in Israel for over 400 years. So no wonder crowds flocked out into the desert to hear this guy. They were hungry and thirsty for spiritual food. But John knew his role. He knew he was only a witness to the light. He was, if you like, the best man. Is the best man the main man at a wedding? No, the groom is. The groom was on his way. Verse 9, the true light that gave light to everyone was coming into the world. Perhaps those words slightly surprise you, because you and I know that Jesus had been living in Nazareth for the best part of 30 years. He hadn't just come. He hadn't just arrived. So why does John say he was coming into the world? Well, I believe it's because it's now that Jesus enters the public arena. He'd been tucked away in Nazareth in the carpenter's shop. But now he was out there. And everyone in Israel will know his name. Even historians of the first century, Philo and Tacitus among them, neither of whom had any connection with Christianity, record the impact of Jesus' ministry in their journals. And now it's a name known throughout the world, revered by some and ignored, even reviled by others. John calls Jesus the light, light being a very strong and important theme in John's gospel. Later on in chapter 8, Jesus will declare, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Is Christmas for me? It truly is. It's for me, it's for you. Because in the very person of Jesus Christ, who walked this earth, if we got on a plane 2,000 years ago, we'd have seen Jesus in Palestine. Just think about that. The invisible God revealed himself in Jesus. Humankind had lost its sense of purpose and direction, had lost its way, walking in the dark without God and without hope in this world. And then the light of the world appears, and a new future with God our Maker becomes possible. As Isaiah the prophet had foretold over 600 years earlier in the Old Testament, The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And the darkness of the fall, of sin, of disbelief, even of the eventual and brutal execution of Jesus, has never, ever overcome the light of Jesus. Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. They crucified him, didn't they, on Good Friday? And he rose to life again in triumph just 3 days later. The writer of the gospel account, John the Apostle, was one of the eyewitnesses to the risen Christ. Read those last two chapters of John, 20 and 21, to see what he says about seeing the risen Jesus. He writes in verse 14 of our section, summarizing both Jesus' humanity and divine glory. And he puts it like this: the Word became flesh and made his dwelling, his home among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Lord Jesus came with grace and truth for you and for me, to show us the way back to God, and in fact, to be the way back to God and friendship with him through his death for us on the cross as the Savior, who is Christ the Lord, born at Bethlehem. Finally, is Christmas for me? Yes, because of the gift he offers. Because of the gift he offers. Many of us will have bought, wrapped, and posted gifts. If you did it online like I did over the weekend, I tell you, it was a struggle, my wife will tell you. Why do they keep it so difficult? And you've got to just check that one, and oh, if you go there, and then, oh, you got to the pain. No, I don't want that. I wanted to go that way, and not to them, but to her. But we got there. We got there. Just thinking about it, I tell you what. Perhaps we'll have a few gifts of our own wrapped for us under a Christmas tree. Some here are in a panic because Christmas shopping hasn't quite gone to plan and you're relying on good old late night shopping, aren't you? Just to warn you, on Christmas Eve, Westfield at Doncaster shuts at 6 o'clock. The one gift you can't give, but you can receive, is the gift to become a child of God, a member of God's kingdom family. You won't find that gift under the tree. As you will know, in his time on earth, Jesus didn't always receive the respect, the recognition, and the acceptance he deserved. John writes, verse 10, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, the people of Israel, but his own did not receive him. You know, rejection was a hallmark of Jesus' life. It started at Bethlehem. There was no room at the inn. After his birth, the family fled to Egypt because of King Herod's murderous plots. The religious leaders of Palestine disliked Jesus' teaching, were threatened by it, and his popularity. And eventually, and sadly, even the crowds who'd adored Jesus turned against him. And finally, on that first Good Friday, he was put on trial and killed. Jesus always knew it would end this way. He always knew he came to be the Savior. He knew his time was short. And so he made every effort to teach, to heal, to bring hope and to change lives. He offered a gift only he could offer. As John writes, verse 12, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. To all who received him, Jesus gave new life, eternal life. This new life, this new spiritual birth, was unrelated to physical birth, parentage, or the family line. So this new spiritual life is not related to anything to do with parentage or our birth or anything like that. It's all to do with God. It was a gift of God freely given to all who would accept it. And Jesus was born at Bethlehem in order that he could offer this gift to people then, and as the risen Savior, offer it to you and me today. Have you, like Professor Collins, accepted that gift of spiritual life in the Lord Jesus, the gift of being part of God's kingdom? Because there's no better time to receive and accept that gift than at Christmas. Our question today was, in summary, is Christmas for me? The answer is yes, because life is no accident. God has created each one of us. Is Christmas for me? Yes, because Christ came for you. He is the light of the world, showing us the way back to God. Is Christmas for me? Yes, because of the gift Jesus offers, the gift of eternal life, a place in God's kingdom. I'm now going to pray a prayer. You might want to echo it in your own hearts in maybe a special way today, as a recommitment, or maybe a first time. Maybe you've been to other events during this year for Explore, and you want to make you a commitment to the Lord Jesus. You want to receive him into your life and be part of his family. Let me pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this Christmas season. Thank you that it reminds us that the Lord Jesus came to be our Savior, to die for our sin, to offer us new life in him. We're sorry for those times we have ignored you and your ways. Thank you for your offer of new life in you. Please draw near to us this Christmas. Fill our hearts with joy in believing as we receive you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.